This year, I am focused on saving and investing, but I still want to do things like travel. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times points on your spending, which means you could end up with a free flight or maybe a better hotel room.
So what could future you do with smarter financial decisions? Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Eating processed food for every meal isn't healthy for people or for dogs. We all know that. And kibble is subject to multiple rounds of high heat processing, making it an ultra processed food. The Farmer's Dog is real, fresh, healthy food with whole meat and veggies gently cooked in human-grade kitchens to preserve their nutritional value. My dog, Barnaby, loves the Farmer's Dog. When he sees me pulling one of those packets out, he comes running. It's personalized, vet-developed, and it has recipes for as little as $2 a day. Meals arrive in pre-portioned, ready-to-serve packs, and they're conveniently delivered on whatever schedule works for me.
Get 50% off your first box of fresh, healthy food at thefarmersdog.com/happier. That's 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/happier.
Hello, and welcome to Happier, a podcast about how to be happier. This week, even though it's not an official, very special episode, we will reveal our 19 for 2019 list and devote the entire episode to the 19 for 2019 concept. I'm Gretchen Rubin, a writer who studies happiness, good habits, and human nature. I'm in New York City, and with me is my sister, Elizabeth Kraft. And Elizabeth, we have had so much fun talking about our list, and we've had such an extraordinary response from listeners and on social media.
That's me, Elizabeth Kraft, a TV writer and producer living in LA. And yeah, Gretch, I have been in awe of our listeners and how well they've done on their list. And now they've got their new 19 for 19 list coming up. So it's very exciting.
It's interesting how you can tell a lot from somebody from reading their list. It's like a little window into the soul. Now, we get into the exciting unveiling of our lists, I wanted to remind everyone that tomorrow, if you're listening to this when the show goes live, tomorrow, January 10th, is the last day to register for the Happiness Project experience. Now, this is this online video course that I'm doing to help people design and follow through on their own happiness projects. This is different from the Four Tendencies course because this registration opens only one time during the year because everyone's going to go through this 12-month program together. So if you want to do it, you got to sign up by January 10th. It's $15 a month, or if you get the whole year, it's $150, so you get 2 months free. And I really do think that just about anyone should do a happiness project. It certainly made my life happier, and I think just about everyone can make their life happier too. So I'll post links in the show notes for everything related to how you would sign up for that course. But listen, now let's jump into the 19 for 2019.
Yes, Gretch. Do you want to go first and tell us your 19 for 2019? I know you'll do them all, so the stakes are high.
Well, I don't know. There's a couple this time that I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to do that. So I was slightly more aspirational this time, Elizabeth, inspired by you. Now, one of my philosophies is always include something that you can do like the very first day or almost right away. And so in that spirit, my number one is to give away Christmas decorations that we don't want. We both have a lot of Christmas decorations because it's such a big deal to our mother and in our family. But there's some that they just never make the tree. They never make it. They always stay in the box year after year. And I'm thinking, somebody else might love this little funny, whimsical elf. Why don't I give it away? So I'm gathering all Christmas decorations that I don't think that we're going to actually ever use and getting rid of those.
Well, that's good.
Next is something big and who knows, is do something with my color pilgrimage, which is the little book that I wrote out of my obsession with color. I had so much fun working on this little book. Now it actually is sort of a little book, a little weird, quirky book, all about color. And I need to figure out what to do with it. Three. Okay, Elizabeth, this is a big one. I think it's controversial because I think some people would say, this isn't even a good idea. But my fantasy is to get to inbox zero for at least like 1 minute.
Oh my God. Do you know how insane that is to me?
Yeah.
I have so many emails. Let me look right now and tell you how many emails I have.
How do you know how many? How do you know?
It comes up on my little icon. I have 46,499 emails.
Oh my gosh. That's terrifying. Do you ever put them in the trash?
I try to, but there's no way to purge en masse that I've found. So it's like, at a certain point, I mean, I have to be doing like 5,000 a day to get anywhere. So, and it seems like even when I put them in the trash, they're still there. I don't know.
Well, you know, some people do this
so
thing.
So I admire you.
Some people do inbox bankruptcy, which is when you delete everything. You just delete everything and you're like, if it's important, people will email me again. I just need to get rid of everything. I don't have that many. I don't know how. I want to find out. There must be some tool then where I can see how many I have. I didn't know I could do that without just sort of physically counting them. I use Outlook.
But you know, I've had the same email address since 1993. So
okay.
That may be part of it.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Well, I don't know if I'm going to get there. This is
well,
a tough
one. Good luck.
Okay. Oh, number four. This is something that affects you too, which is merchandise. I'm enchanted with the possibilities of merch. We've been talking about we should have this t-shirt and that t-shirt. We want to have better, you know, cooler mugs. And there's lots of stuff now that you can do. And I just have sort of not focused on it. So I want to, this is the year of merch. I feel very
official
calling it merch, not merchandise.
Yeah, Gretch. Our listeners need to be able to get their tendency on various items.
Yes, and we've had some requests for onwards and upwards. We've had, so we're going to do all that. Okay, now this one is a little bit vague, and I would love any suggestions from listeners about how to do this, because what I want to do is I feel like my phone could make my life so much easier if I understood shortcuts that I could take. Mm. I want to get myself in the habit of speaking texts instead of writing them, because people say it's actually quite simple and then it's much faster and easier. So like one thing, because we talked about this a few episodes ago, I figured out that if I want to give myself a note while I'm listening to a podcast while I'm walking, I will say, "Hey Siri, in an hour, remind me to look up the definition of, you know, kerfuffle." And then in an hour, see, my phone just said, "Hey, I'm trying to do this for you."
That's funny.
Yeah. It just said so. But so that was one thing that I learned, and that has actually been a very big help to me. So I want to do that. I want to unscribe to newsletters that I don't get. I want to think about different ways to find shortcuts and, you know, just things that would make my life easier by using the phone.
Okay. So you want to make technology work for you.
Yes. I'm looking for like little hacks and little things. And the problem is a lot of times somebody will tell you how to do something, but then you have to kind of get in the habit of doing it. And so sometimes there's a little bit of a lag of convenience, because it's like, it'd just be faster to send that text by my thumbs. But overall, I should learn how to do it by voice. Here's one. This is a habit, so I'm going to have to use...
Number six.
This is one where I'm going to need to really use all my habit strategies. Get out my checklist for habit change. I'll put a link to that in the show notes. I want to stop eating off other people's plates.
And is this something you do often?
I do it fairly often, I've got to say. And I think it's kind of gross, actually. And it feels sort of gross. It feels sort of... foragey in a gross way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's that polite, like if you're in a restaurant. And I had my own dinner. I don't need to finish somebody else's dinner. So anyway, I just feel like, I'll just give that up.
Okay,
number seven, a little bit whimsical, because we're all about the whimsy. So, you know, after we interviewed Roz Chast, and she was so inspirational about the joys of the ukulele, I actually gave a ukulele to my daughters. They do not play the ukulele, but I want to learn to play at least one song in the ukulele.
What song? Have you decided?
Oh, no, I have not got that far. This is purely easy. This is a dream, yeah. I think she said, "You Are My Sunshine" is very easy to play on the ukulele, but I will do some, clearly there's some YouTube videos in my future. Okay, this is a big one. Eight, I want to do a flash briefing, which is a thing that you do on Alexa where it's like, and it would be a daily thing that you could listen to it. The Minute of Happiness, where I have like a little burst of happiness ideas that I would put out into the world. So I want to create that in 2019.
I like that.
Okay, here's a big one. This is one that I'm not sure I'm going to do. So for years, I would say like 20 years, I've been thinking, I really should read Proust. I read the first volume years ago, but I didn't read the whole thing. And I just feel like any serious reader, like, you should read Proust. And if I'm going to read a little bit of it, I want to read the whole thing because I think that's how it's meant to be read. And here's the thing. I have a friend who is a Proust scholar who's like the most fun person in the world. And she makes references to Proust the way I make references to The Office. Like, to her, it's clearly like the most fun, most funny, most hilarious, most profound. Like, there's just nothing in her life that doesn't relate to Proust in some way. So she got me really excited about Proust. Not just that it was a duty, but this was something I was really going to enjoy. The problem is it's huge opportunity cost. If I'm reading Proust, that's going to be a lot of reading that I'm not going to be doing because I'm just going to be like charging through Proust. I couldn't figure out how to get myself to start. But then, like, the phrase Summer of Proust kind of has this cool vibe to it. So I'm like, can I have the Summer of Proust? Okay, I told her I'm doing the Summer of Proust, giving myself a little bit of accountability because she's really excited that I'm going to do Summer of Proust.
So is this Remembrance of Things Past? Is that?
Yes, that is. I'm going to do
that. And how many total pages is it? Like,
I didn't look.
Thousands.
Don't want to know. Right? Yes, I did just finish the Knausgård books, which I was obsessed with and loved. So I will go charging through a multi-volume thing. But okay, Summer Proust, we shall see. Unfortunately, I don't have to worry about that until June. Okay, number 10. This is another one that's going to be hard, Elizabeth. So I've got my book tour coming up in March and April. And the thing that I do in hotels is I watch HGTV transformation shows.
Yes.
Which I do enjoy. But the fact is, it's a lot of time that could be done with other things. And so this book tour, I really want to challenge myself to read children's literature instead of watching TV. And I'm saying children's literature because it is a very taxing time. So I think it's a good time to read children's literature, which is just like that much kind of easier to process. And I love it. And I feel like if I come out of the book tour and I've read 10 books of children's literature, I'm going to be a lot happier with myself than if I watched, like, you know, X number of hours of HGTV. Right. As enjoyable as that is, it's just very fleeting. Whereas if I really added to my knowledge of children's literature, I'd be so happy. So that's number 10.
Love it.
Okay, number 11, easier. Visit Museum of Illusions in New York City with Eliza and Eleanor. I like Museum of Illusions, right? How can we not go? This is also related to a daughter. I want to take Eliza to Las Vegas.
Now, this interests me. What's the genesis of this?
Okay, so Eliza, who is my sophomore in college, she's 19 years old. One of the things that she's been interested in ever since she was very small is what you would call an artificial space. So that might be a pop-up store. That might be a museum exhibition. It might be a storefront, Disneyland. She's interested in like weird, fanciful restaurants. Like, she's interested in how to create feelings and emotions and experiences with people using space. And so I was in Las Vegas speaking, and I was walking through one of the lesser casinos, and I was like, oh my gosh, I have to bring Eliza here because if you're interested in artificial space, like, and this is something I've always wanted to do. I'm not interested in gambling at all. Elizabeth, I know you kind of enjoy it, but I'm not interested in that at all. But I've always wanted to just walk up and down and look at all the casinos. And I'm like, oh, now I have an excuse because this is like
perfect.
This is like coursework for Eliza. So we just have to find a time.
Well, that's fun.
That'll be fun. Good mother daughter. Every mother should take her impressionable young daughter to Las Vegas. No, but I will. Okay. Number 13, this is cool. I hope I follow through with this. So I was thinking back on my past, because, you know, I feel like I remember nothing from my past. And I was thinking what I would really love to have is, like, what did the grocery store look like? What did my room look like? What did the refrigerator look like? What did the front yard look like? What did, you know, what did the city look like? What did, you know, like, if we had that from Kansas City from like 1982, I would love that. So I think I'm going to try to make a scrapbook of now and just
take a
bunch of pictures of, like, what I feel like are the most familiar experience and sights that I experience sort of right now and make an actual physical book with it. So I think that'd be fun. I mean, maybe I will do this periodically.
Great.
Okay. Number 14, walk faster. I stopped going to the gym, which was kind of an identity thing for me. It took me a while to, like, actually start. I stopped going long before I stopped paying, let's just say. but now I go for a walk every morning in Central Park. I love doing it, but I definitely am just kind of, like, ambling along, listening to a podcast. Like, oh, listen to Happier in Hollywood. Oh, la, la, la. Elizabeth's talking about the gap in her front teeth. What could be more fun? But then it's like, this is not really hardcore exercise. It's not even slightly hard. It's just movement.
Right.
So I think I should just walk. I think walking my daughters to school year after year after year, I think I just got in the habit of deliberately slowing my pace. And now I just walk slowly.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah. I'm not looking forward to that one particularly, but I should do that and get more exercise value from that time. Number 15. Okay. So I realized that, so I clerked on the Supreme Court in what is called the October term, 1995 term. That's, you talk about okay. terms because their year starts in October. And so that's kind of like your class year. And so we have reunions for people who clerked for Justice O'Connor, but they clerked all different years. Only three of them clerked with me.
I see.
But then there are the people who all clerked the same year I did. And that, those are actually the people that I know much better. So, like, I know the person who clerked for Justice Scalia better than right. the person who clerked for Justice O'Connor 10 years ahead of me. So
yes.
2020 is going to be our 25th reunion. And so I thought we should have a reunion. And we've had one reunion, which I planned with a couple of other people way a long time ago. And I realized if we're ever going to do one, we should do one for the 25th. And if anyone's going to do it, it's probably going to be me. And so I need to like rally some people to the cause and try to get everybody organized.
You'll be so glad you did.
So glad I did. Yes.
And this I'll give you a big gold star okay. when you do that.
Now, it is 2020, so you could say, hey, shouldn't this be on the 2020 thing? But I think actually it's going to take some putting some pieces into place in 2019 if it's even going to happen in 2020. So this might repeat. Okay, so my number 16, I was inspired by your one-word theme of number six, how you had the number six theme.
Yes.
So I have a number six theme, which I should have made number six, I'm realizing now, but oh, hey, it's 16, close enough. So I want to have six people over for dinner. I want to have six dinners for six people. Jamie and I went to a dinner for six people, and I realized it's great because you can all have one conversation, which is very, very nice. You feel like you're really talking to everybody there. And it's very low bar in terms of logistics because it's just not that many people. It's not that much food. And I think if I did it six times, I could like come up with a formula. And
totally.
So that's my thing. So six dinners for six people.
That sounds fun.
That sounds fun. I know you and I keep making these hospitality related things and being like, what sounds like more fun? And then we don't do it. So, but this, it's on the list. Okay. Got to do it. Number 17 is a little bit vague. I, years ago, wrote a series of articles for the Motherlode blog for the New York Times on picture books that I loved, because I love children's literature, but I also love picture books. And they just sort of have been in the back of my mind. And I'm like, what do I have there? Could I turn it into something else? Like, I should go back and look at that and kind of think about it. And yet I never have. So I thought, okay, I'm going to put it on this list. So I sort of don't even know what's there. This was years ago, but I wanted to put it on the list because it's something that I'm afraid I'm just going to forget about entirely.
Got it.
So that's my picture book stuff. Okay. This, Elizabeth, is partly inspired by you. Okay. You know, I fell off Mad Men in season three. So there's much Mad Men that I never watched. And so I thought, okay, well, this will be a fun one. I will have a Mad Men binge watch. I know it's your favorite show.
Of all time, yes.
Of all time. But guess how many hours it is? If you binge watch Mad Men, 92. 92. I thought it said 92, and then I was like, it can't be 92. That must be some other number. And I'm like, click, 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 click. I think it's 92 hours of watching. That's a lot of watching TV.
Keep in mind, though, that the episodes, most of them aren't actually an hour. So
is that right?
Each one's probably like 48.
Okay.
So won't actually be 92 hours.
Well, see, I thought I could sit down in like a couple weekends and just basically watch. That's a lot of time.
Yeah.
You may just
need to tackle one season at a time. Think of it that way.
Oh, that's a great idea. That's what I will do. So how long would a season take? A season would take 8 hours, about?
Depends on the length of the season. I think they vary.
Okay.
It's so worth it. I should watch it too, and then we can discuss it. Ooh, I love it so much.
Let's do that. That would be so fun.
Okay.
Well, if we did
Tell
it by seasons.
Tell me when you're starting.
If we did it by seasons, that would be better. The thing about Mad Men, and I feel this way about a lot of TV that I really like, is I feel like it's kind of an emotional, I have to kind of get myself emotionally ready to watch it. And then once I'm watching it, I can keep watching it. But if I stop watching it, I have to like get myself back to that place. So I'm better off kind of binging it because then I don't have to go on and off of it so much. And I felt that way very much about Mad Men. It took a lot out of me. And I loved it.
Let me just say, Gretch, the last scene of Mad Men, I almost fainted when I saw it. It was so good.
No, no, I remember you calling
it like
me.
6 times in a row.
No, I remember you calling me.
My
being
favorite.
Like, yeah.
My favorite television scene of all time.
You're like, it's like unbelievably, indescribably amazing. No, I remember that. But, and that's part of why I wanted to do it, because I know you love it so much that I feel like, how can I not have availed myself of this? So I'm going to have my summer of Proust and my spring of Mad Men or something like that.
Okay, I
got to plan this out. The season thing, I feel like this is the way I've got to do it. I feel like that makes it a lot easier to tackle. My number 19, I will reveal during our hack segment. So little cliffhanger there for everyone. What is the 19th? TBD. It's also a good one.
Ooh. Okay, Gretch, coming up, I will reveal my list for 2019, but first this break.
There are some stories from our mother's life that I love to hear about. I love hearing about how she played with a tin dollhouse when she was a girl. And just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for our families forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mother and mother figures for years to come. And it makes a wonderful keepsake book so you never, never lose these wonderful stories and memories.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, like, what was your favorite toy as a little girl, or what was your first job? All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years, Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/happier. That's storyworth.com/happier to save $10 on your first purchase. When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else. LinkedIn does all that while making the process easy and intuitive.
I know that when I've been hiring, it's really hard to do. It's really hard to find quality candidates. It's really hard to handle the process. Hiring is easy when you have lots of quality candidates, like with LinkedIn Jobs. It's so easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Gretchen. That's linkedin.com/Gretchen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Okay, Elizabeth, it's time to hear your list. What's on your list?
Okay, well, Gretchen, you know, in 2018, I did two lists of 18 things I wanted to do.
Yes, yeah.
And I did very few of them. And someone in our Happier in Hollywood Facebook group mentioned doing, instead of 19 for 2019, because they thought that was too many, they said they were going to do 9 for 2019.
Huh.
And as soon as I saw that, I was like, bing, that is what I should do. Because this year I want to try to actually do everything on my list. And if I have 9 things and really say I'm going to put effort into getting all of them done, I think I will have more success. So this is my strategy. I'm picking 9 things. A couple of them, there's still things I want to do on the 18 for 18 list, but I didn't want to make my whole new list just things I didn't do in 2018.
Right.
So only a couple of them have I pulled off that list.
But they're still in the back of your mind.
Yes, but they're still on my mind. Okay, but number one is I want to go to the Integratron in Joshua Tree. Sarah and I talked about this in episode 72 of Happier in Hollywood. Yes. Our assistant Mary went and she really loved it. And I've really gotten into sound baths lately, which is where people just sort of play nice sounds and you kind of meditate.
Yeah.
I find it insanely relaxing. And the Integratron is a sound bath. So Sarah has agreed to go with me. So I have a a partner to do this with.
Okay.
That'll be fun.
Wait, and I will put a link to this in the show notes. If you're like, what the heck is the Integratron? You can look it up because it's got like a whole site devoted to it. But Elizabeth, I think this is so appropriate for like someone who's got two podcasts to be getting very focused on sound because I think,
audio.
Yeah, I think we've both become much more tuned into audio. And it's great that you found kind of a place of renewal through this.
Yes. Okay, Gretch. Number two on my list is have an adult dinner party. Mm. Now, on my 18 for 18, one thing I actually accomplished was having a dinner party.
Yeah.
But that was kids and adults. So even though we had an adult table and a kids table, the kids were there. And I think that makes it a lower bar. Mm-hmm. I mean, because nobody had to get a babysitter. So now I want to raise the bar, have people get a babysitter, a little bit of a nicer outfit, have adult conversation. So it's a little, higher stakes. And I definitely feel intimidated, but I feel this is the next step, in my entertaining. Plus, I feel like it's a great way to make friends, people who I really like, but haven't spent a lot of time with. So this is big for me. Good. I'm not going to have six of them as you are, but I'm going to have at least one.
Yeah.
Number three, this is from my 18 for 18 list. I really want to go away for a weekend with Adam. Mm. We didn't do that. I wanted to go away for our 10th anniversary. And of course, we just didn't get around to it. So I really just want to, I should just plan it. I realize this is the kind of thing like I have to just take it on and do it to make it happen. It doesn't have to be anything that special. We could go to the Ojai Valley Inn where we go all the time. I want us to have a nice weekend, the two of us.
And do you think that's where you'd go? Because I feel like knowing where you want to go kind of simplifies the decision. Because there's so much decision fatigue on something like this.
Well, that's the place that springs to mind. But again, although I will say that's my favorite place. Adam's favorite place is in Del Mar. So maybe we should go there. I'm still pondering that. I have to make a decision and then I will plan.
Because it seems like you need the place and you need the weekend.
Yes.
So maybe it's to think about that.
And to get it on the calendar.
And get it on the calendar.
Because as we know, if it's on the calendar, we'll do it. If it's not on the calendar, we'll never do it.
And this would Jack stay with his grandparents? So then you'd have to do it with them? Or
either he'd stay with his grandparents or Cynthia, his nanny, could stay with him, I'm sure, for a weekend.
Okay, so that's not a big obstacle. That's not a big obstacle.
No.
So it's really the place and the weekend.
I don't see that.
Okay. That seems doable.
Yeah.
Okay.
Number four is, this is very exciting. I'm going to do a Happier in Hollywood retreat. This is something Sarah and I have talked about. We want to do a Happier in Hollywood retreat. The subject will be TV writing, how to get and keep a job.
Ah.
This is something we've talked about doing for years. We have a lot of knowledge, obviously, about the television writing business. And so we have already sort of an agenda of what we would do for this retreat, but we just need to find a place and, get it on the books and start advertising it. So stay tuned, anyone who wants to be a TV writer. That'll be coming up in the spring.
I love the idea of you doing a retreat. That sounds so cool.
Yes. We've even looked at places.
Oh, really? Okay. So this is really, this is more than just like—
This is in motion. Okay. We are in motion.
Okay. So this is something that's going to happen. Okay. Exciting.
Yes. Also, Happier in Hollywood, we want to have another meetup. Sarah and I had a meetup last January to celebrate our first 1,000,000 downloads. And it was so much fun to meet our Los Angeles listeners. And of course, we said, oh, we'll do these all the time. And we never have done one again. So we want to do another meetup.
Yeah. Again, it's the scheduling. Scheduling is hard because it's like—
It is. It's just deciding on that date. Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard.
Okay, number six, Gretch, this is maybe under the category of whimsy. I don't know, but I want to learn to make the perfect guacamole.
Okay.
Heck. I've made guacamole a few times. Yeah. I have yet to perfect it, however.
Okay. Yeah.
And I want it to be that perfect combination of like tangy, but not too spicy, but having flavor, having enough salt, but not too much. I absolutely love guacamole.
Yeah.
And I feel this would be a good offering for me when I go to people's houses to bring guacamole.
That could be your signature dish. It could be like an incredible.
I would like that.
Elizabeth is going
to
bring guacamole. Well, I would like for you to hustle on this one and have the perfect guacamole by the, from the time that I come crash at your house in March.
Yes. I'll practice on you.
Oh, please.
Perfect.
Yes. Because, you know, I don't believe in a vehicle for guacamole. I only eat it. I eat it with a spoon out of a bowl. I'm like, why slow me down?
That is not appealing to me.
But you can line up eight different versions.
Perfect guacamole.
And then number seven.
Okay, number seven. Last year, 2018, Gretchen, I vowed to get the perfect black purse, which I eventually did after much hand-wringing.
I believe that was the first thing you crossed off your list, in fact. I think
it was the first thing on my list, too. This year, I'm on a quest for a long gold necklace. This is hard because it's pricey, okay? Yeah. So it's an investment.
Yeah, you want it to be perfect.
You want it to be perfect. I want to have it forever. I want it to be sort of a signature necklace. I don't want to cheap out on it because if I do, then that'll just be a waste of money. I really want to get, you know, a good one.
Mm-hmm.
So that is going to be an ongoing quest to find that necklace and then to get myself to buy it because I am kind of an underbuyer. I have a hard time making a big purchase like that.
Now, do you have a vision in your mind of what it should look like? And it's just a matter of finding the kind of the platonic ideal? Are there a lot of different ways it could go?
I've seen some I've admired, but I don't have exactly one in mind. I just know I want it to be long. Like at least once a week, I wish I was wearing a long gold necklace.
So
I think I'll know it when I see it.
Well, you have that short circle necklace that you wear all the time. I think you're the kind of person like me where it's better to have fewer things that you wear all the time than choice because we don't like choices.
Yes.
So it's worth it to get the perfect thing because you actually will wear it like three times a week for the rest of your life. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, good. I can't wait to see that.
Number eight, and this is just my vanity coming into play. I want to get this thing called Fraxel, which I've heard is really great, where it's a laser skin resurfacing, and the Fraxel stimulates your body's own healing process, which replaces damaged skin with fresh, glowing, healthy skin. And I've heard it's really a way, you know, to get a better look. So that is my goal. It does have downtime, which makes it tricky. But I'm hoping that I can actually maybe do that in January.
Yeah, you've got a lot of timing issues.
Also pricey.
You've got timing issues here. Yeah,
I do.
Yeah, scheduling. Everything would be easy if it weren't for scheduling.
Right. And then finally, Gretch, this is important. This is another one I took from my 2018 list because it was so important to me. And that is spend time with my college friends. And I hate to even call them college friends because they're just friends. But I delineate the fact that I went to college with them for clarity. And most of them live on the East Coast. And I have been seeing them so rarely. It's like now that we don't get together for weddings on a regular basis, it just takes more doing, obviously, and planning. And I've just been really bad about that. So I want to make 2019 a year where I really prioritize that. And that is my list.
That's a great list. That feels like a list where you could do all of it. I could imagine you doing every single one. These are really high value things for you, all of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
It feels like a lot. It's only nine things, but it feels like a lot.
Well, they are a lot. Well, a lot of them, there's a lot goes into it. But so here's the question. You are an obliger, and so you need outer accountability. And clearly making the list is not enough accountability because, like, for instance, could you send an email to your college friends and say, like, this is the year that it's happening. Stay tuned for me when I unveil my plan for you, so that they're all like, hey,
I should do that.
You know,
I should. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk. You can help me figure out my accountability methods.
Do you want unleash the happiness?
Maybe we should check in every 3 months and I'll see how I've done.
Okay. I have been sending you emails saying, how's the will coming along?
I know. And I appreciate that. I haven't been responding to them, but
I
have been getting them. Add Adam to those and that'll help.
Okay. I will do that. Well, I don't know that I can reveal my happiness bully self quite to the same level as Adam.
Okay.
Are you asking me to do that? I will, but I don't want to like turn him against me. I think I'm an insane
Let me think on that.
Insane nudge. And Elizabeth, we're continuing to get more and more great ideas from listeners. But so here's just like a small assortment of ones that really particularly caught our eye.
Yes. Here are some items from people's 19 for 2019 lists. Kristen wants to spend an entire day playing video games. Ashley wants to donate a load to Goodwill every month and log 700 miles on the treadmill. That's a good one. I'm not going to put it on my list, though, because I've learned my lesson.
Yeah.
Tracy wants to save no spending except for on fuel and food for the entire month.
Bold. Jillian had an interesting approach, a kind of a different take on the 19 for 2019. She said, rather than choosing 19 unrelated things, I wanted to think about one big goal for the year and break it down into 19 smaller goals. As someone who spends a lot of time outdoors, my big goal is to be a better steward for the environment. And so she had 19 things that included items like join a food co-op, use bulk bins more frequently, remember to bring her own bags, reduce food waste, especially by planning meals, things like that. So I thought that was interesting, like a thematic.
Great.
And Margaret had listened to the Happier podcast on her list. I like seeing that. That was great.
Oh, yes. I would add she should also listen to Happier in Hollywood.
Yes, more happiness.
Robin says she wants to donate blood for the first time. That's a good thing to put on the list. And Diana says each week have a one-on-one meal with at least one son.
That's nice.
Alexandra said she left number 19 open for life to surprise her.
That's cool. And then there were some big themes that just kept coming up over and over and over again. One was people wanting to read a certain number of books. Our listeners definitely are people who want to read more and who love reading. A lot of people wanting to add to savings, as Tracy above. A lot had were dealing with photographs in one way or another, whether it was like taking pictures more consistently or making albums or saving pictures onto hard drives, just sort of like all different variations on that. One thing that was surprising to me, Elizabeth, I don't know if this surprised you, but how many people included something related to wanting to buy more plants for their home, their office, or their garden? So many people talked about plants. And I have to say, that never occurred to me.
Well, it's interesting because Adam has been on a plant buying binge lately, and it has made such a difference in our backyard. Our backyard has been transformed by all the plants he's gotten. I would not have thought it would make such a big difference to have all these plants, but it really does.
Yeah.
So I think I get why people have that on their list.
Well, and then one thing, just like sort of something to think about as you're thinking about your list, just from my observation of having talked to people about kind of aims and resolutions for so many years. One thing is putting something on your list like lose 50 pounds or learn Spanish, those are outcomes. And we can't control outcomes, but we can control our actions. And so lose 50 pounds, translate that into an action that you're going to follow. Like you're going to quit sugar or you're not going to eat fast food or whatever it would be. Translate it into something. And I would suggest putting that on your 19 for 2019 list, because you can't wake up tomorrow and lose 50 pounds. But you can wake up tomorrow and not go to a fast food joint. And the same thing, like learn Spanish. That's a gigantic goal. That's a multi, like, what are you asking of yourself? So it might be like sign up for one, you know, watch one YouTube video a day, or sign up for Duolingo and use it consistently, or, you know, whatever it would be that would help take you to that goal. But I think something that's, it's unlikely that just putting learn Spanish on your list is gonna help, because it's just so big.
Right.
So think more about what would you do that would help you get closer to that goal, and things then that you could regularly check on to see whether you're doing them. That's just my
Gretch,
observation.
I believe you taught me the expression for this is action items.
Action item, yeah.
Action items.
Yeah, and it should be a concrete, manageable action that you could take tomorrow. You know,
got it.
You can't learn Spanish tomorrow, but you could watch a 10-minute video and do 10 minutes of homework in Spanish tomorrow or whatever it is. So that's my suggestion. These are so fun. I mean, Elizabeth, I don't know about you, but I just spend hours poring over people's lists.
I know.
Seeing how they decorate their lists, how they present their lists. It's fascinating.
It's so great.
So keep letting us know what's on your 19 for 2019. We are going to come back to it throughout the year. Let us know on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Drop us an email at podcast@gretchenrubin.com. And as always, you can go to happiercast.com/203 for everything related to this episode.
Coming up, Gretchen's going to reveal her 19th item in our happiness hack. But first this break. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, as we both are, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. Gretchen, we got Greenlight for Jack, and I love that it teaches him financial independence. He can earn money from us by doing chores and then getting money deposited into his Greenlight account. He can keep track of what he's spending.
Millions of parents and kids use Greenlight to learn how to make responsible financial choices. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/happier. That's greenlight.com/happier to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/happier.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other topics, and managing it as one big, juicy investment. Now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
So listen, this happiness hack came from Sarah, and I was so excited about this, and I'm actually hearing this hack for quite some time, that I'm adding this to my list as like my bonus item.
Sarah says, I have been using the 1 second every day app since my daughter was born back in 2016. You take a video every day, easily upload 1 second snippets of the video to the app, and let it string all of the short videos into one large video. One of the best things about this app is that it will allow you to use iPhone Live Pictures as video footage. I keep the Live Pictures feature turned on and just take pictures throughout the day, then pick out a good one for my video each night. I can't even begin to describe the gratifying feeling I get watching my daughter grow right before my eyes, plus remembering all the stuff in between that I probably would have forgotten about. Well, Gretch, that I love this, and I've seen these one-second videos, and now I feel like I need to add this as number 10 on my list because I would love to do this.
Well, I've been hearing about this for a long time. I think this is an app that a lot of people really, really find fun, and I've just sort of never gotten around to kind of downloading it and figuring out how it works. But this is one of the things that haunts me. I feel like I don't remember my life. This is sort of a different way of doing the scrapbook of now, and so I'm going to do it. Thank
All right,
you, Sarah.
I'm going to do it too. Let's remind each other.
Yes. Yeah. No, because it's the kind of thing where you want that streak. You want you want 365 days. So I want to start January 1st and not miss a day. And that's going to be a little bit of a thing as well. So that's thank you, Sarah, for that push.
Yes.
So Elizabeth, now it's time for demerits and gold stars.
Yes. And Gretchen, this has been a very special, not even very special, a very, very special episode because it's not even in the place where we normally have a very special episode where we have just, you know, shared our souls with our list for 2019. So neither of us are going to have a happiness demerit.
Nope.
We're only going to give a gold star, and it's a big gold star to our listeners.
And to ourselves for everything that we completed, because sometimes it's easy to focus on the things that don't get done, but it's really important to say, like, look at what I did. Look at my to-do list. Look at everything I crossed off. Think of all the things I'm excited about tackling in the future. So gold stars all around for thinking about the year and trying to shape it to make it a happier, healthier, more productive, and more creative year.
Yes.
And that is it for this episode of Happier. Remember to try this at home. Write your 19 for 2019 list. Let us know what you're planning. We are interested. This is like one of the most fascinating things that we talk about.
Thank you to our producer, Bob Tabador. Also, thanks to everybody at Cadence 13. Get in touch. Gretchen's on Twitter at Gretchen Rubin, and I'm at Elizabeth Kraft. Our email address is podcast@GretchenRubin.com.
If you like the show, as always, It's the same old story. Please be sure to tell a friend and subscribe to us however you listen to your podcast, and rate and review us. It really helps other people discover the show. As I mentioned at the top of the episode, registration for the Happiness Experience closes on January 10th, so sign up now. That's courses.gretchenrubin.com/happiness, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes. A lot of people have been letting me know that they're reading Better Than Before, which is my book about habit change, with a group. I think this is because it's sort of the beginning of the year and people are focused on habit change. If you want the free discussion guide, it's for book groups, work groups, faith and spirituality-based groups, all kinds of groups like that. It's at gretchenrubin.com/resources. And again, I'll post a link. And if you do in-person workshops, so many people have asked me about doing a workshop around the four tendencies. As part of my 2018, I created the four tendencies workshop. Yay for me. I crossed that off the list. And now it's available for you. And I'll post a link to that in the show notes as well.
Until next week, I'm Elizabeth Kraft.
And I'm Gretchen Rubin. Thanks for joining us. Onward and upward. So, Elizabeth, you really think that we're going to have these dinner parties that we're talking about?
Well, I think you will now that you've put it on your 19 for 19 list. I know, like, even if you end up doing six in December, you will do six dinner parties for six people. And I'm impressed.
And I feel like you really want to do this. I have a good feeling.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is going to be our year.
All right. Well, I'll let you know when I get mine planned.
Okay.
Gretch, I know from my own experience that baby making is not always simple. There is a lack of knowledge surrounding how to get pregnant. And when you want to conceive, there can be a lack of understanding and resources. Frida Fertility is the only one-stop shop that makes it easier to make a baby with a set of solutions for everything from reproductive health to ovulation tracking to conception aid.
Frida is simplifying the journey to parenthood with products that help you go from trying to making a baby. Frida products are innovative, easy to use, and accessible, from ovulation prediction to at-home insemination kits. This is baby making simplified. Find Frida Fertility on Amazon, at Target, and select CVS stores near you. That's Frida Fertility, F-R-I-D-A, Frida Fertility.